Welcome to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Yesterday, the Senate agreed on a spending deal to avoid yet another government shutdown. The plan will increase both domestic and defense spending by roughly $300 billion over the next 2 years. It's according to some reports anyway. You might remember that last month, the federal government shut down because leaders in Washington couldn't agree on what to do about immigration, especially for the nearly 1.8 million people affected by the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Illinois, by the way, has the largest group of DACA recipients in the Midwest. And because President Trump rescinded the program started by President Obama, it will expire on March 5th. This time, the Senate plans to hold an open debate on this very topic next week, although they're already facing pushback from members of the House and activists who are alarmed that a deal on immigration wasn't reached before the budget vote. We'll be speaking with some of those activists later in the hour. But first, I spoke with the number two Democrat in the Senate, Illinois' Dick Durbin, earlier this morning about the budget deal in immigration. There's a lot in this budget package. So I started by asking him what stands out for us here in Illinois.
Well, there's so many things. And to keep our community centers, clinics open, just absolutely essential for thousands of people in Illinois. The Children's Health Insurance Program, which we recently extended, depends on these clinics to deliver the services. So first step, let's make sure that basic health care is available for everyone who lives in our state, and that's what this bill does. Secondly, I have a special affection for the provision that increases medical research. I decided a few years ago when I was running for re-election, there were a few things I wanted to get done, and one of them was to do everything I could to increase our investment in medical research at the National Institutes of Health. This will be the third straight year, that we've given a 5% real growth increase in medical research. And I'll tell you, it's going to make a difference. These young researchers who now have confidence that they're going to be funded in the future are sticking with research instead of giving up on it. And that means that a lot of things, breakthroughs that we are desperate to find, are likely to occur.
I wanted to ask you about immigration. You've said all along that a vote for recipients of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA, needs to take place. That's scheduled in the Senate. Is that scheduled for next week?
It is. What we have is a promise from Senator McConnell, the Republican Senate leader, that we will bring to the floor for debate the issue of immigration and DACA. It sounds pretty routine to the listener, I'm sure, but it's a breakthrough. It's been over a year and a half since we've had an actual debate on the floor of the Senate. I mean a real one. Democrats and Republicans offering their best amendments and debate on the floor. You think that's normal in the Senate? It hasn't been for a year and a half. It's been 5 years since we've taken up the issue of immigration. And so this, to me, is a step forward. We have a looming deadline of March 5th, which President Trump created. As of March 5th, every single day, 1,000 young people protected by DACA, which was President Obama's program, 1,000 young people lose their protection. They'll be subject to deportation. They'll no longer be able to work legally in America. This looming deadline means that our debate is timely and important.
Just in regard to DACA, obviously you've been working very hard on a bipartisan solution for this. Do you feel like you have the support, bipartisan support, in the Senate to pass something with DACA?
Oh, I think we're so close. I just this morning talked to one of my colleagues who's part of what we call the Moderates Caucus. And I really think if anything has emerged from this debate that has long-lasting impact, it's the fact that the strong center in both the Democratic and Republican caucuses are now sitting down together. There are about 25 of them, and they are trying to get the Senate back to its history, its tradition of open bipartisan debate. They're trying to tackle issues which we have skirted around and avoided, and this is one of them. So I think there is a possibility, and I underline possibility, that we can put together a bipartisan coalition in the Senate to solve this problem. I desperately hope that the Speaker of the House will give the same opportunity to his members to debate this issue before March 5th.
Yesterday, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi spoke on the floor for 8 hours in support of DACA. She also said that a large number of House Democrats would vote no on this spending bill unless Speaker Ryan promises a vote on this issue. Do you agree with her on that?
I went over to the floor of the House yesterday when I heard what Nancy was doing. She's a close friend and one of my strongest allies in dealing with Dreamers. And I went over there and saw her standing, and she was there for over 8 hours, broke a house record, and for the record, did it in high heels, and stood there and delivered, I thought, the most impassioned plea you could imagine by telling the stories of these young people and how they'll be affected. All she's asking for is a debate on the floor of the House of Representatives and a vote on, you know, competing proposals. Let's see if we can come up with a bipartisan group that helps to solve the problem in the House. And that was her message yesterday. So I hope Speaker Ryan, who came to Chicago to the City Club with Congressman Gutierrez several years ago and said he supports the DREAM Act, will show it. All he has to do is say, fine, we'll schedule it. We'll have the debate. Let's see how it ends. That's the right thing to do.
Are you confident that you've been talking about how you've been developing, going back to this strong center in the Senate? Do you think that exists in the House? Do you think that there's that? Do you think that there's enough people in the House to have something pass?
I do. I do believe, based on the Republican members of the House who've stepped forward, have either listed their own names as co-sponsors of measures to solve the problem or signed up with coalitions that have endorsed this, there are more than enough votes to pass this on a bipartisan basis. The House, unfortunately, is shackled by what is known as the Hastert Rule, which refers to former Speaker Denny Hastert, who said, I won't call a measure for consideration in the House unless a majority of the majority members, majority of the Republicans, support it. Well, I don't know whether a majority support this among the Republican caucus, but I will tell you that I know there's a majority, a bipartisan majority, to pass it. And it comes a time, Speaker Boehner realized this, I hope Speaker Ryan realizes this, where the good of the country and the importance of the issue demand that you step up and consider a bipartisan solution.
And so what are you thinking now about President Trump? And if you can get some, if something is passed in the House, something's passed in the Senate, passed in the House, whether this is something he will sign?
I have no idea. He changes his position on this by the hour, certainly by the day, by the tweet. One day he is heaping praise on these young people who, through no fault of their own, have no future in the United States. The next day, he's talking about getting tough on immigration. On one day, he's talking about the fact that we have a lot of immigrants who make America better. The next day, he's endorsing an immigration measure, which takes us back to some horrible days in American history, when in 1924, we passed an Exclusionary Act, which decided that we would allow immigrants to this country from certain parts of the world, but not from others. It was entirely discriminatory against Jews and Italians and Asians and Eastern Europeans, and for 41 years it was the law of the land. What President Trump has proposed is to go back to the same immigration, I should say the reduction in legal immigration, that we saw in the 1920s.
I wonder, Senator, about people who are listening who maybe agree with President Trump or say, look, it doesn't matter. Why did you all hold up a budget for this? Even if these people were brought here through no fault of their own, their parents didn't bring them here legally, and they should just get in line like everybody else.
Well, of course, they'd love to get in line, but under our current laws, they cannot get in line. If you were brought here at the age of two, it's not likely that you had much say in the decision by your family. But that decision now is going to determine your future and your life and whether you'll have any role in America. Overwhelmingly, 80% of Americans believe that the fair and just thing to do is to give these young people a chance to earn their way to legalization and citizenship. It isn't by just sticking around. They have to show with their lives, by their work record, by their education, by their the fact that they have not committed any serious crimes, that they are worthy of being part of America's future. They're ready to do it. They're ready to fight for it. And to say to them, we don't need you, we don't want you, we educated you, you've lived here, you can leave now, would lose an important part of our future. They are talented, they're ambitious, they are part of America. It's the only country they've ever known.
You mentioned that the House, the Senate will be taking up a debate on immigration and DACA. I wanted to ask you about undocumented immigrants apart from DACA. Those recipients, maybe if we look at the numbers, are roughly maybe one out of every five undocumented immigrants in the country. What about the other 8 million or so people who are here?
5 years ago, I sat down with a group of senators, four Democrats, four Republicans. We spent 6 months. We had a lot of give and take, a lot of arguments. At the end of 6 months, we produced a comprehensive immigration reform bill. We took it to committee. We faced hundreds of amendments in the Judiciary Committee. We reported out to the floor of the Senate, and we passed it. I believe 68 senators, Democrats and Republicans, voted for comprehensive immigration reform to address not only the Dreamers, but everyone across the board to fix this broken immigration system once and for all. We invested more money in border security than had ever been invested at any point in our history. We were serious about it, and we sent the bill to the House of Representatives, and they killed it. They refused to even consider it, to bring it up for a vote, or even debate it in a committee. And so 5 years later, here we are empty-handed. I'm for comprehensive immigration reform. The president's decision to kill the DACA program and put a deadline of March 5th of this year on it has created a crisis that we have to address immediately. But I hope after we've done that, we move quickly to comprehensive reform.
One quick question for you, Senator. We're going to hear from Fred Saul with the Illinois Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights right after this. I wonder what your message is to him and other immigration activists who are nervous that Congress won't take action.
Well, I share their concern. I'm just as nervous. We do have a path in the Senate to debate and pass a measure, but if we pass it, it could have the same fate as comprehensive immigration reform. If Speaker Ryan will accede to the request of the Democrats and allow this to be debated on the floor, we can get it done before the President Trump deadline of March 5th, which he created. If not, we're going to be stuck again. But I think there is mounting public sentiment across the United States among Democrats, Republicans, and Independents that we have to do something and do it now. And I think the Dreamers have led this because of the issue of fairness and justice, which is part of their debate. But I think other Americans are stepping up. I can't get over how many groups. I want to salute Cardinal Supich here in the Archdiocese of Chicago, the Jewish leaders across our community, those in Protestant churches who are speaking up, the business leaders. Many of them are lifelong Republicans who are speaking up. We have a coalition that is growing in size and intensity. So I'd say to your next guest, don't give up hope. We are going to push this forward. America is on our side.
Senator Dick Durbin, thanks for your time.
Great to be with you.